Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Psalm 40, verses 1 to 10. Psalm 40, verses 1 to 10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou did not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within thy heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. May the Lord bless these words to our hearts. Amen.
The New Testament reading is from John chapter 1, 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word.
Well, I don't know how you felt watching that video clip, but the longer it went on, I have to confess that the more agitated I became. Because the young woman was so obviously ill at ease, inspecting the paintwork on the lamppost and all these things, she fidgeting with her clothes. And I was upset by her increasingly disturbed reaction at being forced to have to wait. And maybe some of you were thinking along similar lines, or perhaps some of you just felt sorry for her, feeling sympathy for her in her predicament. Or if you've ever had to wait in the way that she has, feeling an empathy with her, identifying with her, feeling compassion for her, not being able to know all that she was feeling, but understanding a little because you've been there or thereabouts at some time yourself. Which of us has not waited at some time in our lives for something or someone? The video clip gave us a catalogue of possibilities for a phone call, results, a lift, a hug, a holiday, the right job, the right relationship, the right house, the right friends, the right moment, or a surprise. And we know that that list is not endless. There's more and more could be added to it. And our imaginations sometimes run riot as we wait. The right moment never seems to come. Patience goes out of the window. Frustration and anger and fear build up into resentment and worse. We might feel trapped with no hope of being free. Waiting can bring us down. Waiting can bring us down, but when you really think about it, didn't waiting bring God down? The whole story of the Bible tells about God waiting on his people and then coming down in Jesus to tell us that God the Father is waiting patiently for all people. In Psalm 40 that we heard earlier and read together, the psalmist begins, "I waited patiently for the Lord." But the story he tells is of the living and merciful God who waits patiently on his people. He declares that God has rescued him from a situation so awful that he describes it as a horrible pit. And if you were reading the NIV version, it says a slimy pit, a place of despair and hopelessness. But in place of despair and hopelessness, God has given him security and joy. He says that the man who puts his trust in God is blessed. He praises God for the wonders that he has done and the things he has planned for us. He declares that nothing that comes to us from God depends on burnt offerings or sin offerings from us. In other words, God's blessings do not depend upon anything we do for him, but exclusively on the grace of God who waits on his people. And throughout the Bible story, we hear of men and women waiting, sometimes faithfully, sometimes faithlessly, sometimes fearlessly. Right at the beginning, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden defied God by eating fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they became afraid as they realized what they'd done. And their daily joyful anticipation of walking with God in the cool of the evening in the garden turned into a fearful waiting time. They hid in terror as they heard God calling out, "Where are you? Where are you?" That call from God has echoed down through the years. Noah heard it as he suffered ridicule from his neighbors by building an ark in the middle of dry land. But he persevered in faith. Abram heard it as he led his people in faith to a new land and then faced that dreadful test of his trust in God as he took the son that he never thought he would have to a mountaintop, prepared to do God's will. And instead, to be rewarded by a promise that his descendants would number more than all the stars in the sky, and that all nations on earth would be blessed because he had waited patiently, fearfully, faithfully on the Lord. Moses heard it as he allowed his lack of faith in his own abilities to be overruled by his faith that God could enable him to be all that he needed to be for the task of leading his people out of Egypt towards the promised land. And we could go on remembering all these stories of individual men and women in the Bible and feel encouraged by the truth that each one of them was just like us. No one special until they responded to the call of God, "Where are you?" And waited on God who waits on them. Each one of their stories is part of the big story of God who waits on his people. The theologian John Ortberg says that biblically, waiting is not something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting, he said, is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. The process of waiting in that way demands action and involves watching, praying, and serving. In our reading from John chapter 1, the verses 9 to 11 say that the true light, who is Jesus, came into the world to give light to everyone. He was in the world, and although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. God waited patiently down through the generations, and generation after generation let him down. Yet he did not stop waiting. And at a time of his own choosing, he came down in Jesus. But Jesus was not recognized except by those who were watching for him and who received him. And nothing has changed today. Only those who watch, who look expecting to find him, will see Jesus for who he really is. And by receiving him and by believing in his name, they are given the right to become children of God. God's promise to Abraham was fulfilled through Jesus, and his new covenant of grace makes us children of the living God. By his grace, God adopts us as his children. And Paul wrote to the Ephesians in the third chapter at verse 14 that he knelt before God the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Do we have that kind of awareness? Do we look expecting to find the true light in Jesus? Do we see ourselves as belonging in the family of God, not just this family here, but a bigger family, a family stretching throughout the world and into heaven? The Father is waiting on us, waiting on him. To wait on God in this way means learning to recognize the limits of our own inadequacy. And that does not mean deliberately demeaning ourselves or telling ourselves that we are less than we are, putting ourselves down, as the popular language puts it. Because to do that is false humility. And that undermines our potential to be the children of God we are created to be. We're not meant to measure ourselves against one another's achievements, but to reflect on our own inadequacy in the light of God's grace, which is sufficient for all our needs, for all our hopes. Just as he gave Moses and Noah and Mary and everyone else we read of all that they needed to do the tasks that he gave them, so he sends his Spirit to encourage and equip his people today. Waiting in prayer gives us the opportunity and the ability to take all our hopes and fears to God and discover His blessing. Even in what the psalmist called the horrible pit, the slimy pit, the worst of times that threatened to overwhelm the best of our hopes and even our trust in God. God is patient, and His children learn to be patient with themselves. That means that waiting on God is hard work. But not waiting means shutting out the mercy of God and missing out on the blessing of knowing that He is working in us. Denying ourselves the opportunity to be able to echo these words that we read from John 1, verse 14. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see His glory through Jesus. God is at work in us by His Spirit. And waiting on God involves working for His kingdom, serving Him day by day. But how are we to know how to do that when we cannot see God and we're often not sure that we're hearing Him? We have an answer again in that first chapter of John at verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. God, the one and only, is Jesus, in whom God became man. And in Jesus, the grace of God was revealed to the world in a way that those who watch and pray are still able to see for themselves. We see the glory of God through the eyes of faith. The glory waiting to be found in God's love for the world, in Jesus. Jesus came into the world to serve the purposes of God. He showed the mercy and love of God in His teaching, His healing, and by reconciling people to God, to one another, and sometimes most of all to themselves, to what they knew about themselves and enabled them to take that to God to receive His forgiveness. He did it by telling His disciples that He'd not come to be served, but to serve, to wait on the needs of others, and to go to the cross for their sins. So waiting on God means serving Him day by day, taking the compassion and the love of Christ into the lives of other people, being His hands, His feet, His ears, His voice for this day and into all our tomorrows, as part of His family on earth and in heaven. And God's call to us in the midst of all the clamor and confusion of life around us is, where are you? Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, Your word never ceases to surprise us, to catch us unawares, to make us think, to draw us up. And as You send Your Spirit to awaken our minds and our hearts to its meaning for us, we are turned around in our lives. You turn us inside out. You turn us out into an upside down world where Your love prevails over all, where the confusion still exists, but we see a way through. And we thank you for that. As we remember all these things we saw in the video again, we think of the things that have been preventing us from coming close to you, thinking that we are less than we are, not realizing that you receive us as we are. You draw us to yourself. You reveal in us the children you have created us to be. And we thank you for that. So as we each come in our own time of waiting, we come expectantly, waiting to see your glory, waiting to hear your word for us, waiting to see Christ in one another as we go out to serve in the world in his name. And in his name we pray. Amen.